and welcome to your A-Level Psychology Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here, because today we are diving into one of the most fascinating and exam-rich topics on the entire EdExcel specification, cognitive psychology, specifically memory. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. I've read the textbook, I've made my flashcards, what more is there? But here's the thing. Understanding memory isn't just about knowing the models. It's about being able to apply them, evaluate them, and use them to pick up every single mark the examiner is offering you. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. In the next 10 minutes, we'll cover the multi-store model, the working memory model, Tolving's long-term memory types, the two key studies, Baddeley 1966B and Schmolk et al. 2002, and then we'll hit exam tips, common mistakes, a quick-fire quiz, and a summary. So get comfortable, maybe grab a pen, and let's get into it. Let's start with the big one, the multi-store model of memory, proposed by Atkinson and Shiffrin in 1968. The model suggests memory is made up of three separate stores: the sensory register, short-term memory, which we call STM, and long-term memory, or LTM. Information flows through these stores in a linear sequence. The sensory register receives all incoming information from our senses. Its capacity is very large, it takes in everything, but its duration is incredibly brief. Just a quarter of a second to 2 seconds. Coding is modality specific, meaning visual information is stored as an image, auditory information as a sound, and so on. The key point here is that only information we pay attention to gets transferred to STM. Now, short-term memory. This is the store you're using right now to hold this information as you listen. STM has a limited capacity of 7 ± 2 items, that's Miller's magic number from 1956. Its duration is only 15 to 30 seconds without rehearsal, and crucially, its coding is primarily acoustic. That means we tend to store information in STM as sounds, even if we read it visually. Long-term memory is the permanent store. Its capacity is essentially unlimited, its duration can last a lifetime, and its coding is semantic, meaning we store information based on meaning. This is a really important distinction for the exam, and it comes directly from Baddeley's 1966B study, which we'll come back to in a moment. Information moves from STM to LTM through rehearsal. Maintenance rehearsal, just repeating something over and over, keeps it in STM. Elaborative rehearsal, thinking deeply about meaning, transfers it to LTM. Now, Tolving, Endel Tolving, proposed in 1972 that long-term memory is not one single store but is divided into three types. First, episodic memory. This is your autobiographical memory, your personal experiences with a time and place attached, like remembering your first day of school. Second, semantic memory. This is your general knowledge about the world, facts, concepts, the meaning of words, things not tied to a specific personal experience. Third, procedural memory. This is memory for skills and how to do things, riding a bike, typing, playing an instrument. This is implicit memory. You do it without consciously thinking about it. This distinction matters enormously for the Schmolk study, so keep it in mind. Now let's talk about the working memory model. Baddeley and Hitch proposed this in 1974 as a replacement for the single passive STM store in the multi-store model. They argued STM is not one thing. It's a dynamic, active workspace with multiple components. At the top is the central executive. This is the boss. It controls attention, coordinates the other components, and has limited capacity. It is modality-free, meaning it's not tied to any specific sense. The central executive oversees three slave systems. First, the phonological loop. This deals with verbal and auditory information. It has two parts: the phonological store, which is like an inner ear, holding speech-based sounds for about 2 seconds, and the articulatory process, also called the rehearsal system, which is like an inner voice. It rehearses verbal information to keep it active. This is the component students most often confuse. So remember, the phonological store holds it, the articulatory process rehearses it. Second, the visuospatial sketchpad. This is the inner eye. It processes visual and spatial information, like mentally rotating an object or navigating a route. Third, the episodic buffer. This was added by Baddeley in 2000, so it's a later addition. It acts as a temporary store that integrates information from the phonological loop, the visuospatial sketchpad, and long-term memory into a single coherent episode. It has a limited capacity of around 4 chunks. Now, the classic study, Baddeley 1966B. The aim was to investigate whether long-term memory uses semantic coding. Baddeley gave participants 4 word lists: acoustically similar words, acoustically dissimilar words, semantically similar words, and semantically dissimilar words. Participants were tested immediately, testing STM, and after a 20-minute delay, testing LTM. The findings were clear. STM recall was worse for acoustically similar words, confirming acoustic coding in STM. LTM recall was worse for semantically similar words, with accuracy dropping to around 55%, confirming semantic coding in LTM. This is strong evidence for the multi-store model's claim that STM and LTM are distinct stores using different coding. When evaluating this study, think grave. Generalizability. The sample was limited, mostly university students, so we should be cautious about generalizing to all populations. Reliability. It was a controlled lab experiment, so it can be replicated. Application. It has real-world applications for teaching and learning strategies. Validity. The artificial word lists lack mundane realism. Real-world memory tasks are far more complex. Ethics. No major ethical concerns. The contemporary study, Schmalk, Buffalo, and Squire, 2002. The aim was to investigate semantic memory impairment in patients with medial temporal lobe damage. They tested patients including the famous case of H.M., Henry Molaison, who had severe amnesia following hippocampal surgery. Patients were tested on semantic memory tasks including naming and categorization. The findings showed that patients with larger lesions in the hippocampal and rhinal cortex regions showed greater semantic memory impairment. This supports Tulving's distinction between episodic and semantic memory as separate systems and provides neurological evidence for the biological basis of LTM. When evaluating Schmalk, the key issue is generalizability. These are case studies of patients with unusual brain damage, so we cannot generalize findings to the general population. However, the study has high validity because it studies real memory impairment rather than artificial lab tasks. Right, let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. First, know your AO weightings. For EdExcel A-level psychology, AO1 is 30%. AO2 is 35%, and AO3 is 35%. That means description alone will never get you top marks. You must apply and evaluate. For 8-mark, evaluate questions, use the Peel structure, point, make your evaluative claim, evidence, cite specific research like Baddeley 1966B or Schmalk 2002, explanation, explain how the evidence supports or challenges the theory. Link, connect back to the question. Do this twice for 2 developed evaluation points. For study evaluation questions, use GRAVE. Generalizability, reliability, application, validity, ethics. Don't just list these. Develop each one with specific reference to the study's procedure and findings. For 20-mark essays, bring in issues and debates. For example, you can discuss whether cognitive psychology is scientific. The use of controlled lab experiments like Baddeley's supports the scientific status of the approach, but critics argue that cognitive models are reductionist because they oversimplify the complexity of human memory. Now, the 3 most common mistakes I see candidates make. 1. Confusing the phonological loop with the articulatory process. Remember, the phonological loop is the whole component. Within it, the phonological store holds sounds and the articulatory process rehearses them. They are not the same thing. 2. Describing Baddeley's procedure in detail but failing to evaluate the generalizability of the findings. The examiner wants you to assess what the study tells us and what its limitations are, not just what Baddeley did. 3. In AO2 application questions, failing to contextualize your answer to the scenario given. If the question describes a specific situation, say a witness to a crime or a student revising for exams, you must explicitly link your psychological knowledge to that scenario. Generic answers will not receive full AO2 credit. Okay, let's test your recall. I'll ask a question. Pause the podcast, think of your answer, then I'll give it. Question 1. What is the capacity of STM according to Miller? 7 plus or minus 2 items. Question 2. What type of coding does LTM primarily use? Semantic coding. Question 3. What was added to the working memory model in 2000? The episodic buffer. Question 4. What were the 3 types of LTM proposed by Tulving? Episodic, semantic, and procedural. Question 5. In Baddeley 1966B, which word list caused the worst LTM recall? The semantically similar word list. Question 6. What does GRAVE stand for in study evaluation? Generalizability, reliability, application, validity, ethics. Brilliant. How did you do? let's wrap up with the key takeaways from today. The multi-store model proposes three stores: sensory register, STM, and LTM, each with distinct capacity, duration, and coding characteristics. The working memory model replaces the passive STM with an active, multi-component system controlled by the central executive. Tolving's LTM types, episodic, semantic, and procedural, are supported by neurological evidence from Schmolke et al., 2002. Baddeley, 1966b, provides classic experimental evidence for different coding in STM and LTM. In the exam, always match your answer to the AO demanded by the question. Describe accurately for AO1, apply specifically to scenarios for AO2, and evaluate with research evidence and issues and debates for AO3. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark is earnable with the right knowledge and technique. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.